Welcome to Ventec FM, a series of podcasts where we focus on various aspects of the coffee and vending world. Sounds fun, right? Alongside the suppliers, customers, and everyone else in between, we'll give you a unique look at what we're about and what's truly important in an ever-changing and surprisingly interesting industry. If you hadn't noticed, the world's been a little bit mad these last 18 months. The COVID pandemic turned our world upside down and brought us to a literal standstill. We learnt new words or phrases and started to use words or phrases we'd never normally use, like coronavirus, furlough, lockdown, social distancing, unprecedented, flatten the curve, self-isolating, you're on mute, Jamie, new normal, and of course, toilet paper shortage, just to name a few. We learnt so much about ourselves and realised how important NHS workers and teachers really are. We were given time, some of us made the most of it and got busy. Some of us realised we'd actually make really good lottery winners. The world as we knew it stopped, and then slowly, very slowly in fact, started again. But it was different, and we were left thinking, will it ever be the same? Should it ever be the same? What now? I'm Jamie Cochran, National Sales Manager at Refreshment Systems, and in the first half of today's podcast, we'll be meeting with some of RSL's senior salespeople to get their unique look on life selling before, during, and after COVID. So let's get into today's podcast, The Art of Selling in This Crazy New World. Hi, Sandy. How are you?
Hi, Jamie. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well. What have you learned from the last 18 months?
Well, I think from a point of view of promoting the company, winning business, I don't think anything's greatly changed. I still think you need to be pretty professional in your approach.
Yeah.
I think you have to have a nice story to tell people, especially from our point of view with how we've invested, especially over the last 18 months, with technology, that stood us in good stead. And I think from that point of view, getting over your key uniques are important.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're all chasing the same type of category of business now, because most vending companies will want to provide services for people who manufacture, because obviously they've got the bodies at work, and vending's very much a numbers game, always has been.
Yeah.
The office side of it will be a different prospect going forward, because my own view would be I don't think offices will populate as they once did.
Yeah.
I think people are seeing advantages of working from home. I think prospective employers are possibly able to downsize as a result of that. So in some respects, from that side of it, it's a win-win. So at the moment, I think Refreshment Systems are pitching where we need to pitch.
Yeah.
But we need to have a flexible approach.
Yeah, yeah.
Moving forward, because, you know, go back 18 months, nobody really knew what was going to come up.
Yeah.
And hopefully things will be fine. But over the next 69 months will be a really good barometer how things are going to progress over even the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah.
How we get through the winter, how the country manages COVID.
Yeah.
And all the problems that it throws up.
Yeah.
And our business, well, we're in a good position to manage COVID, but time will tell.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Is selling the same now?
I'd say selling's the same in some cases, but like I say, a lot of companies have moved forward the digital side, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, etc.
Yeah.
I do believe that this way of selling is here to stay. Although I firmly believe if you can get in front of people or establish a phone contact and build up a relationship, people will always buy from people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I still do, hand on heart, believe in that. But I do think the younger generation, will run with the more like Teams-led calls, LinkedIn, and do the business through that channel, as opposed to meetings, traveling miles, actually meeting people face-to-face.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do think that's one of the big changes. I think RSL have done a great job as far as telemetry, all the systems have put in place, auto ordering, NIACS units, etc. I think that gives us full visibility of like everything that's going on with the machines, the vending machines that we've got out there for the customer and for ourselves, from orders to throughputs to rebates, etc.
Yeah.
But that's just part of the digital process that's everything's moving forward with, But I think it's definitely changed.
And I agree. And I suppose some of it you've got to embrace, haven't you? You can either just leave it and not do anything, or, yeah, or like we've done to, with the technology, you kind of, yeah, you've got to use it.
Forward,
got, yeah,
you?
Got to use that
got,
technology.
Got to move forward. I mean, the above is what I'll set us aside from other companies, you yeah. know, all the technology and aspects that I've just spoken about. But being the only carbon zero company in the UK as well,
yeah.
which we've had that accreditation for around 13 years,
yeah, yeah.
I think is a really good
yeah.
selling point as well.
Yeah. Well, I personally, I always think with sales, it's always been a case of if you've got the better product, if you're offering a better solution, if you're doing something that's required by the customer, or yeah. it's filling a need, then it always benefits, and it's not necessarily selling then, is it? It's giving them a product.
Added value
need.
Into it. Yeah. yeah. It's adding value to what they've currently got.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I think RSL do extremely well, especially more so now we've adapted and we've changed and we've gone with that innovation. It's made such a difference.
More than ever.
And it gives us confidence going out to see customers, not worrying about, are you giving them the right product, because you know it's something you that's know. Actually going to benefit and enhance.
Definitely. Definitely.
How do you think the future looks now for us or for you?
Oh, in my eyes, I believe almost everything will come in line with like going online, apps, etc.
Yeah.
And definitely cashless at some point. I think that's going to
oh yeah. yeah
go
yeah.
even further.
Yeah.
We as have time
sites.
Goes on.
We have cashless sites now, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
There's no cash at all.
I mean like as in all together eventually.
Yeah.
At some time. It's gonna be years as a country
kind of thing,
yeah. as yeah, yeah, definitely. I believe eventually such as sellers will be doing everything digitally instead of in person.
Right.
So I think it's a shame really, because I've always enjoyed my job, as I said earlier, going out and meeting people. But what I see is the younger generation are quite happy to do everything online.
Yeah.
Apps, and their whole world is like now going through
yeah.
online apps and everything else, whereas I'm still a bit a bit here, a bit there, but I'm not as off it as the young ones are, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I do believe that's the way it will go altogether.
Kids are, they're heads down in the phone, aren't they?
Yeah, that's how they live. Yeah. They order everything through their apps and
yeah, yeah.
online. So
I think I do think there'll always be a space for that face to face, because it is. I mean, I think we need human contact, don't we? We need to be able to.
I think we do. Yeah.
And so I think there'll always be that, and I personally think that at some point we'll see that things will start to drift a little bit back to normal, or what we knew as normal, from a business point of view, face to face. But there will be a lot more taken away by digital, I think, as well.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. So. I mean, I've probably spoke about what it's going to be like in, I don't know, 50, 60 years' time when I won't be here anymore, but...
flying cars.
Yeah, yeah, flying cars and everything else. I do hope I get to see them, though. That'd be really interesting. But, I do think, you know, eventually, and like I say, I'm moving quite forward here, but I do think eventually there won't be as much travelling. What I've enjoyed doing in my job for 22 years... I think it'll change out. But then again, the young ones will enjoy doing what they're doing and how they're doing it online and with apps and what have you. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. Thank you, Michelle.
Okay, no worries. Thank
genuinely,
you.
I mean, the time you spent at RSL kind of shows that RSL is selling the right things, because I know you as a person, and I know that you'd always be selling something that's right for a customer, so you wouldn't stay here that long. And at the same time, I'd say RSL have an exceptional member of the sales team. They have for 22 years, and you are the kind of the example that we always use for our sales team when we bring on new people.
Thank you. I think just one thing I would mention is the one thing that I try to do with every client is listen.
Yeah.
I think too many people go in and say, oh, you know, we can offer you this, you can have this, you can have that, you can have the other, but you've always got to be listening to the customer. And I think that's what I've always kept on doing.
Yeah.
I've kept up with, because I do believe that they want to know that you've listened.
Yeah.
And put their point across.
Yeah. 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 And I've experienced that being out on the road with you. You genuinely do kind of listen to what they need and then
hopefully
find a solution
point them in the right
for that
direction.
Need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. Hi, Duncan. How are you?
Hello, Jamie. I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Good. Tell us who you are. What's your role and how long you've been with RSL?
Okay, so my name's Duncan Rogers. I've been with RSL at least 4 years. and I'm a business development manager in the south, covering everything from Birmingham down, essentially.
Right. Wow.
It's a big old area.
Small patch.
Yeah, just a little.
Brilliant. And how have you found the last 18 months?
Challenging, really. I think being part of a medium-sized, you know, an SME has its challenges, but also has its positives. And I think the last 18 months with the market, having to diversify has been challenging. I think looking for new markets and seeking out opportunities where it's sometimes difficult, not always, but sometimes difficult to get hold of the decision maker and having to adapt to different markets. So before I was all very much Horeca. At the tail end of last year, I was looking at really the vending side of things and really just looking at vending opportunities to get those numbers and looking where those opportunities are, really. So it's been a bit of a mind shift for me personally and having to really reevaluate how I go about working smarter.
Yeah. So almost kind of targeting totally different customers that you might have done in the past.
Yeah. I mean, there was a shift in the business in terms of the mind shift in terms of different focus. As you know, Jamie, FM companies, catering, manufacturing, NHS, and really just having, you know, a mindset to really, well, what do those clients need? What are their goals? What are their, you know, who are the buying personas in those industries?
Yeah.
And really identifying the different buying personas, because it's quite easy in Horeca to look at, you know, who you need, the F&B, whereas in an office it's generally the facilities manager or manageress.
Yeah.
But in manufacturing, well, who really looks after that? And is it the procurement or is it the maintenance manager that looks after that? And really identifying who the right person to go to is.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for your time, Duncan. It's been a pleasure.
Jamie.
Thank you. Welcome back to part 2 of Ventech FM's sales special, The Art of Selling in the Crazy New World. We're now joined by inspirational speaker, author and business coach, Chris Murray. Chris is the founder / managing director of Lucrum House Group. Chris's book, Selling With Ease, is described by Jeb Blount as a handbook that will help you close more deals, advance your career and build your income. I've read it myself personally and I completely agree with Jeb. Chris is also the author of the Amazon bestseller, The Extremely Successful Salesman's Club, and has contributed to articles for companies like Winning Edge, Training Magazine Europe, The Sales Pro, CNBC.com, Entrepreneur, The Huffington Post and USA Today. The man is a bit of a rock star when it comes to the sales world, and it's a genuine pleasure to welcome you along today, Chris. Hello.
Delighted to be here. Hiya, Jamie.
Hi.
That's a hell of an intro. Thank you very much, by the way.
You're welcome. Tell me about Chris Murray.
You just have.
I
can't beat that. I'm thinking that maybe I should like make up something about being raised by wolves or something now. Quick bit about me then. I've just always had sales jobs, and starting off in the big machine business-to-business world, photocopiers and faxes, and then moving into the drinks industry, where I became a professional drunk and just an amateur now. But the a couple of really big brands, Moët & Chandon, Jim Beam, before looking after a number of smaller companies that became big, and then went into the charity world as well. But I think as I moved from sales to management and sales director, I realized the bit of the job that I really enjoyed was helping people become better tomorrow than they were yesterday. And you know, there's the selling bit's fun, the making sure that you're growing businesses is fun, but I wanted to make sure that, sort of, I don't know, when I got to my late 30s, if I was going to start my own business, the thing I thought, I could go into a full sales role, or I could do what I really love doing, and that was coaching and training salespeople and their leadership teams how to be better tomorrow than they were yesterday. And so, sort of 15 years on, that's what we're doing.
Wonderful. Brilliant. And how have you found the last 12 to 18 months?
I've definitely not been lonely, that's for sure. All the family have been home. But we decided in May that we would acknowledge what was going on and recognize that what we wanted to do was create the training company and the resources and content that that possibly, if I'm honest, when you're in that whirlwind of being super busy, you don't create the thing or improve it or make anything better. So you just keep going and keep going and keep going. And if anything, this gave us a chance to take a step back and be creative for 12, 16 months.
Yeah.
As you're aware, I travel a bit. And I think in January, in January 2019, from the beginning of that month for 9 weeks, I went to 4 continents and 32 countries. And over a year, I trained between 5,000 and 10,000 salespeople a year. So when you get on a plane after a full week's training in Dallas, you have a glass of rosé. You don't start writing your new book. Yeah. It's just like that. That's where that goes. So, and I'm sure there are a lot more disciplined people out there than me who managed to get on top of that. But it was just, we had a really nice base of product and content, and you know, lots of people loved what we did. And so, when you are that busy, that successful, looking inward isn't something that happens naturally. So, it's been a horrible 18 months. The business model for being in front of between 10 and 500 people, you know, sort of like disappeared within weeks.
Yeah.
So that's been horrible. But if I was looking for a positive, some of the stuff that we've come out of the other side of and some of the new ways we've found of doing things, I'm over the moon about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been so strange and different for us all. It's
I honestly can't stand. And I know I should embrace this. Somebody, Zoom training, right? Somebody said, would you rather do it when we were all coming back out again? Somebody said, would you rather do it in person or would you do it on Zoom? And I know what your answer is going to be, Chris. And I said, no, I'd rather do it in person. And he went, well, why wouldn't you want to do it from home with a webcam? I said, well, because you can't, it's the getting the feeling in the room of how you're helping people. It's the quiet person at the back or the gobby person at the front who is commanding the entire training. It's about organizing that room so that you leave no one behind, and that, you know, whether it be the quiet person in the back who's scared to ask, or the person at the front who's being loud because he or she doesn't want to give away what they don't know, you know, and they're actually sort of like putting up a front. That's great, that's wonderful. On the internet, you're sitting there and sort of like, some people haven't even got the pictures on. Some people could be walking the dog. I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
And, like, and they just, and every now and again, yeah, I'm still here. They're just, and so I felt like I couldn't help people as much as I could in the room. Even when I'm doing a keynote at a conference, I can walk off a stage, and if there's 500 people in the room, the 10 people who really need my help, I mean, we've worked together, Jamie. You know that anybody that comes to one of my training days, I give them access to me 100% after that.
Yes.
Completely free of charge. You know, if you want to call me, if you want to email me, you should do so. I mean, anything over 15 minutes, you get one-to-one rate. But
I always put a timer on.
never slipping in, and we're off. Yeah, everybody can call me. Everybody can email. I want to be able to help everybody. If you're at a conference, I say the same thing to 500 people as I do to 10 people in a bespoke workshop. I want to make sure that I can help as many people who want my help as possible. And you offer that over Zoom and everybody just goes back to the life. You know, everybody goes and empties the washing machine.
Yeah.
You know, or lets the dog out. But if you're at a conference, people will come back and talk to you afterwards, and it's just,
you can't engage, can you?
And I've been watching people do concerts and, you know, music concerts over the last 18 months. And we should make sure that music stays live. It's wonderful, and I feel terrible for anybody in that industry at the moment as well. But you can watch a live video on YouTube of a band, but it could be a recording, but it's still a live event.
Yeah.
But it's a recording. And that's what I feel about doing stuff on the internet. It can always be a recording. Even when it's a little bit interactive. But with regards to training, live events, theatre, music, I think they should all be in the room at the same time, and everybody should be enjoying them live.
Yeah. Well, you can't replicate that atmosphere and that kind of... No. Whether it be a training course, whether it be a concert or whatever, it's so much better live.
Human sort of really struggles online with people being disparate as well.
You know?
It's just, I'm not surprised everybody's been getting sort of down as it's gone on, because you just you can't bounce the conversation around like you can when you're in the same room or something, you know. I mean, I reckon if we weren't doing this in the same room, the conversation we had before we went on air wouldn't have been anything like it was. I'm delighted to be here with you.
Yeah, no, it's great face to face, isn't it? Just kind of covered it off a little bit, but how does it compare to life before the pandemic?
The biggest problem I've got now, really, with my own business, is that there's so many shortages of things, so that people are actually firefighting the situation they've got rather than improving their people.
Yeah.
So back in the old days, when things were what people are referring to at the moment as normal, is you know, I think everybody had a plan, and the trouble is, the plan sort of goes up in the air when the unplanned happens.
What are the positives to come out of the pandemic?
I think the positives to come out of the pandemic lie in a couple of camps. I think, people are talking about the new normal. People talk about normal like it was ever a thing.
Yeah.
Everything has had to evolve. You know, business doesn't look like it did 18 months ago. That's just a fact. It doesn't. Yeah. It looks completely different, but it evolved. I don't look like I did 18 months ago, you know, mostly because of the rosé and the donuts. But I've really got to work on that before I start hitting the live keynote circuit again. referring to things as, is this the new normal? No, it's not the new normal. It's just the way things are. There is no normal. There is only evolution. Business changes. Yeah. I was delighted to see how many people pivoted, because I genuinely didn't think this was going to take as long as it did. Maybe I was being unrealistic, but I was surprised at how long it took for us to get some sense of normality. And I'm saying that out loud now. I know that a large percentage of the world aren't anywhere near normality. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But just the things that we all take for granted and being able to do them, that would be some sense of normal. But when it comes to business, we have to work out where the new direction is rather than the new normal is. Because that's the direction you want to point yourself in. And I think people should be having meetings, round tables, with regards to what's good about the pandemic is, how has this worked in our favour? Instead of just sitting there stroking your beard and going, woe is me, how awful, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, what's the new direction for us? And how can we help people? At the beginning of sales training day, I always replace the word selling for helping, because it changes the way that you approach situations and it changes the way you approach people. So if we change the word selling for helping, now that we've got to where we are, what is the best way for us to help our prospects and customers, and how best can we get that message over to them?
Yeah.
And I think if you think like that, I think there is a positive for everybody out there, because you either got a business or you haven't. And if you've got a business, then people need your help, so you shouldn't let them down.
Yeah, brilliant. Excellent. You kind of answered my next question, which was, how do we go about getting back to normal?
I mentioned before, I did an article on this not so long ago. I honestly think that it's going to be like a scene from The Hunger Games. That scene where everybody pops up out of the water and has to run for the best weapon. I just see the world opening up and customers all sitting there, like, and all the best customers are going to be rushed. I don't know if how many you've had, but I'm just getting this rolling, continuous sort of barrage of emails and phone calls, and bad emails and bad phone calls. Unnecessary selling, just because everybody's come back to work and the bosses have said, right, go and get them now. Don't worry about being polite or anything, or being professional. Just go and.
Yeah.
You know, and so they jump on them like the wounded zebra in the long grass and rip the throat out. And you're just like, just stop. Do you know, this morning, one of my ladies in my office took a call. And I was surprised, because I know the company that made the call. But they asked for me by name. She told them I wasn't available. And the caller, it was a chap, the man who called her, when he said I wasn't available, hung up on her straight after.
Wow.
And so it's like, is Chris available? No, he's not available right now. Not thanks for your time, goodbye or anything. Just like, ching, gone.
On to the next one,
right? So the way you measure your business is the way you manage it. And the way you manage your business is the way you measure it. So there, whoever was managing that salesperson was measuring them in how many calls they were going to get and how many successful calls they were going to get. And they weren't measuring the perception or the taste that it left in anybody's mouth.
Yeah.
What, it just, let's go and get this. And, you know, it amazes me how some people manage their sales teams. And, you know, when I've been in offices before with telesales teams where people have been made to stand on chairs if they're not being successful, you know? And the sales director sort of like gives me a cheeky wink of look how in control I am. And you've got to wonder, you know, if altitude is so important about success, just put them on the next floor up. You know, I mean, what are they doing on chairs? These are grown people. Treat them like grown people. Someone said, before the pandemic, someone said to me, I'm looking at the opportunity of monitoring my people when they work from home, right? Because I'm not 100% convinced. And this is before everybody had to work from home, right?
Yeah.
And now I understand some people have trackers on cars, and that's not a bad thing. You know, I, as far as I'm concerned, nobody ever checked a tracker report until they were worried about where the salesperson was. So, you know, if everybody's doing the job, those reports just sit there like as an insurance. But yes, this chap said to me, what do you think the legality is of putting cameras in the spare rooms of all the people who work for me so I can see when and when they're not working? Really?
I think it's frowned upon at least, surely.
I mean, you're talking about, you know, being able to trust people working remotely, right? And I said, here's the big problem with that. If you don't trust your team to work, and you don't trust your team to work that much, then, and you monitor them that heavily, then the only people who come and work for you are the people who are desperate for work because they can't get work anywhere else. And that means you're struggling with salespeople who won't sell for you. Treat them brilliantly and get great people. Seems reasonable to me. And I think, you know, sadly, there's going to be a lot of great people on the market in the next couple of months because just the way that some businesses are hanging on with the fingertips at the moment. So there's going to be some good people about, and I think that we should manage them properly and we should interview them properly and we should get people in the right places doing the right jobs, because I think the UK is ready to bounce back and the world's ready to bounce back. Management, you know my feelings on sales management. The sales people get a bad rap all the time from the work they do. But, you know, just like Tottenham over the weekend, somebody was telling those people to stand where they were standing, you know.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's one of the basic things, isn't it? It's kind of, at the very least, treat your staff like grown-ups, getting them to stand up on chairs and things like that. It's just not...
Yeah, it's not
treating an adult, is it? is there anything we should keep the same from the pandemic? Is there anything we kind of look at and think, actually, that needs to stay as it is or should stay as it
is? Well, the trusting people element, definitely. Yep. I think... But at the same time, there should be salespeople making themselves trustworthy. You know, I think it's a two-way street. That I think we should make sure that we're not having meetings for the sake of having meetings, and when we do have them and we get everybody together, they're for all the right reasons. I think that because everybody went down to sort of like Zoom calls or whatever else, we got a little bit closer to a coaching mentality that I think that all sales managers should have, which is actually talking about to people individually and finding out what it is they need to do their job at the very best way they can, and helping them do that and helping them achieve it. And because everybody was on remote, that was happening because those team meetings didn't work like they did when everybody got into rooms, and you could hide up a lot of errors when everybody got into a room. So keep individual meetings like that without, you know, there's no need for Bob to drive down from Glasgow and for Bob's boss to drive up from Brighton and for them to meet up in Birmingham at a coffee shop and then have an hour's meeting and drive back again. Complete waste of money and time and effort. But so keep that stuff relevant and to the point, but make sure that we get back to having meetings that are powerful and meaningful and, you know, emotional and everything that goes with them. But let's fill let's fill our meeting time with topics of interest and efficiency, rather than just because we're having a team building. Two things that narc on me a little bit, the phrase is team building and brand recognition. In marketing, people spend a lot of money on brand recognition and everybody goes, did that work? No idea. No idea at all, you know? Because, well, and I came from a world that had was big on brand recognition. So when I started up my own business, I was sponsoring award dinners and things. And it's really nice to have got to go on my dicky bow and got to take my wife, got to take some customers and everything.
Yeah.
Not a single bit of business from it. Well, and my, one of my coaches, a guy in Chicago, who really put me on the right path for this kind of stuff, said, why are you playing for brand recognition? He said, you haven't got a brand yet, apart from anything. And so I thought, oh, yeah, that's not a bad point. So, yeah, brand recognition and team building. If team building done right is superb, absolutely wonderful. But the thing about sales teams is everybody talks about them like the sporting analogy, like a rugby team or a football team or a cricket team or something. And it's not. It's more like an Olympic squad. You know, you've got the heavy lifter, you've got the sprinter, you've got the marathon runner, you've got somebody heading for the high jump. You've got all these people all in different positions. And when they win a gold medal, they don't all climb on the podium together. They do it individually. And that's what a sales team is. And a sales manager's job is to recognize that actually what we're trying to do is get the most gold medals in a squad, not the most goals from a team. And when that comes into play at a sales meeting and you're treating everybody as individual, almost mercenaries, if you will, you know, then what you've got is a team that matters to everybody, rather than the director just ticking another box and then everybody going for a curry.
Do you think selling is going to be harder? Are the people going to be wary of spending now?
I don't think anybody's going to be wary of spending. Everybody's buying stuff. You know, you're buying stuff. I'm buying stuff. People need stuff. Amazon's never been busier, has it? And everybody loves buying. Nobody likes to be sold to, and that's just a universal truth. And I can't walk down my high street with a tenner in my back pocket without thinking maybe I should just nip into Waterstones and see what I can pick up. You know, it's just like I want to spend money. You know, because nobody minds paying. Nobody wants to overpay. As with regards to price negotiation and pricing and money in general, when it comes to sales, nobody minds paying for the thing that does the job right, but nobody wants to overpay. And people still need help. You know, people still need help. People still need solutions to problems. And people still need either to get away from a pain or to have a reward of joy. So one way or the other, if you want to make sure that you're not sort of, let me rephrase that. Zig Ziglar used to call a bad mindset stinking thinking. And I think it's too easy to come out of the traps now with stinking thinking and thinking that nobody wants to talk to us. It was hard enough in the middle of the pandemic when we were thinking, should we be ringing people? Should we get in touch with people? Is that stinking thinking? If you can help someone, why would you stop? Why wouldn't you help someone? If it was one of your mates and they needed help, why wouldn't you try and help them? You know, so if there's somebody out there that needs your help, go and help them. Get rid of your stinking thinking and recognize that as a consumer and as a customer, we're all someone's customer, all somebody's prospect. You are buying things right now as a salesperson, therefore your customers need stuff too.
Brilliant. What advice are you giving to people and companies getting back into sales?
Right, well, have a plan, have a strategy, have Larry Levine said, who was on my podcast not so long ago, who wrote Selling from the Heart, he said that salespeople are consistently inconsistent. And it's, you know, we start something, we start a project, we start a strategy, and it looks good, but it's just not going fast enough, and your sales manager's on your back, and he's trying to hit your target, and then you see something else shiny, you know, like a kitten, and you can sort of like go and chase that, and then you think, oh no, I've got a new strategy now, and look at this, it's really exciting, I've got these really, and so every sales meeting, every month, somebody's saying, yes, I've got a strategy, and the next month, I've got another strategy, because that one got boring, and I wouldn't have had an answer, but if I told you my old strategy wasn't working, you'd have told me off, but now I've told you I've got a new strategy, what can you say? What you need, and I say this an awful lot, and you mentioned my book, thank you very much at the beginning of this, but my new book, 5-Point Prospecting, is I took it for granted. Selling photocopiers, knocking on doors, prospecting in the 90s, that was just selling to me. And when I wrote Selling With Ease, I didn't have a lot of prospecting in because I thought, well, everybody does that. Everybody knows what prospect. Everybody knows about building pipeline and how to do it. And, you know, what we're dealing with now is probably the third generation of sales manager who was trained in 1999, 2000, when the internet was just coming into power with emails and the internet. And everybody said, don't worry, this is going to save us. No more prospecting, no more cold calling. And by the way, there's no such thing as proper cold calling, because cold, dead calling is everybody earned the right before they made a cold call. That's the whole idea of this. If you haven't earned the right, don't make the call. But I transgress. What we've got is a generation of sales managers who just drank that pink Kool-Aid all the way up and now don't know how to prospect themselves. And this all happened without me realizing it, because I just thought it was common knowledge. It's common knowledge doesn't mean to say that it's happened. It's general knowledge in any way whatsoever. Nobody's doing this stuff. So I wrote the book Prospecting. And what you've got to do is you've got to think of prospecting and building a pipeline and business development like it was a child's board game, like Ludo or Snakes or Ladders or something. And because you've got a start square and you've got a finish square, and you can see exactly where you are on the board. You know who you're playing against. You know what you're up against. Maybe somebody will beat you to the end. That's the way the game goes. But you'll go up a couple of ladders, you'll come down a couple of snakes, but you'll always know where you are. Yeah. And I actually created a game board for my new book so everybody knew exactly where they were on the board. So you don't throw a six and then sort of like go up a ladder and throw a four and come down a snake and go, oh, I'm not winning, and stop. You go, that's where I am. This is what I need to do next.
Yeah.
And when you know that, when you're in control of your sales strategy like that, that's my best advice for salespeople who are starting selling again. Work out what you're trying to achieve, and then when you know what you're trying to achieve target-wise, work out what kind of customers are going to give you that, work out how much time you've got to go and see those customers, which will give you an average customer size, and then play the game and know exactly where you're up to with it.
Brilliant. And when's the book out?
The book should have been out in January. For everybody that had a pre-order of it, I'm really sorry the publisher went out of business in at the end of 2020. So the five-point prospecting, touch wood, and I do hope this is wood, touch wood, it should be out first week in October, and I really need it to be, because it's almost a year late. So, and I realise how much people need it as well. So if the sooner I can get that in the hands of people who I've previously helped, the better I'll feel about it, because there's never been a more urgent time to know how to prospect effectively.
Yeah, I completely agree. And finally, could a big reset be good for businesses? Will they have loads more customers to go at? Is there lots more potential, do we think, now?
I think some people aren't going to survive, sadly. I think that as a reset, I think that you know, all the sticks are going to land on the table, and I don't know what shape they're going to make. But I was telling everybody there was going to be a recession. I didn't expect a pandemic, right? I'm not Nostradamus, but I thought but recessions happen every 12 years. It's just a fact,
yeah.
And or an average of. So I knew the recession was going to come, and I told everybody to be ready for it. And you know, Jim Rohn always said about his ant philosophy: ants spend all summer preparing for winter, and then they spend all winter getting ready for summer, and because they know it's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
And the market will always dip up and down. It's going to be a new landscape when everything settles down, and we've got to see what that looks like. But as a reset, all you can do is control yourself. You can't control anybody else. You can have an influence on other people, but you can't control them. Get yourself ready. What amazes me now, and I'm not touting for people to go and buy one of my books, because there's hundreds of sales books and negotiation books and management books out there. Why wouldn't you prepare for your £1 million target by buying a £15.99 book? I don't know. Because I don't know what your gap in knowledge is. Whoever's listening to this, I don't know what it is that you feel threatened by or in a weaker position because. But there's a book out there for it. There's even an audio book out there. You don't even have to use your eyes.
Yeah,
just and you can get your first free audio book on, is it Audible? Just download one, help yourself to the knowledge of the universe, and crack on.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But be ready for the reset. Be ready for if this was winter, if we've been going through winter, then ants know that summer's coming. And, you know, if a recession happens every 12 years, then it looks like, and we don't have a lot of historical data to go on, but the really big dips in markets happen every 100 years, you know? Yeah. And last time this happened, the Roaring 20s happened after it. Now, a number of years after that weren't great for the rest of the world, but the Roaring 20s were amazing.
Yeah.
I think we're about to have another Roaring 20s, and you can either be part of it or you can say you missed out because you weren't ready.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's there is that key of kind of educating yourself so you can...
Yeah, I'm amazed that everybody thinks it's somebody else's responsibility to educate them. You know, it's just, who do you want to be? What do you want to become? What do you want to know? What do you want to do? Just pick up a book.
Yeah.
Or you know what? Here's three people. Stephen Covey, Jim Rohn, Zig Ziglar. Two of them I've already mentioned. Put any of those names into YouTube and watch 8-minute videos, one a day. Your life will change.
Yeah. Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, Chris.
My pleasure.
Awesome. Sales isn't just about selling. We've talked about that today. There's more to it than that, and it is ever evolving. We need to build trust with customers. We need to educate them on what we know and how we can help them. When you see what RSL are doing in terms of leading from the front, all you really need is a consultant to guide you through. The world's changed, and companies that can't or won't adapt will get left behind. And it's up to us to kind of stay up with the pace and change as the world does. Thanks to our guests, Michelle, Sandy, Duncan, and of course, the wonderful Chris Murray. In my opinion, the best sales trainer out there. If you're in sales, get yourself booked on a course with him and buy his books. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much.
This podcast has been brought to you by Refreshment Systems Limited, edited by Isaac Dunyo and Evan Church, produced by Steve May, host and writer Jamie Cochran, with special thanks to our guests.